And so we come to this festival of Pentecost, this day when indeed so much of what we know about the church begins to fall into its proper place. We know that it's the birth date of the church, that experience that formed and fashioned this people to be God's own. And yet we only really understand the place of Pentecost when we first realize that, of course, the community was just gathering on that day because it was the last day of this harvest festival, this festival of 7 weeks that culminated here in Pentecost, or in the Hebrew, in Shavuot. This powerful sense of the Lord blessing his people, and they respond with great gratitude and thanksgiving. It was the day when they would begin to return the first fruits of the harvest, the 7 different grains that marked the Jewish harvest. They would bring the first offerings of those back to the Lord as an offering of thanksgiving to declare unto God how grateful they were for all that he had poured upon his people. But of course, in that period just before the birth of Jesus, the rabbis began to reflect on this festival, and they realized that there was another thing that they should celebrate on this day. And that was the moment back in the wilderness of Sinai when the Lord had formed and fashioned this people. I'd spoken when we got to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 some weeks ago during Lent, and we got to that passage and I indicated that that was the first time for hundreds of years that God had finally spoken to not just anybody, but to the whole nation, the one and only time in human history when God is recorded as speaking to this whole community gathered together, when he forms and fashions, and the language is of a bridegroom trying to woo and to seduce his bride, trying to say to his people, I want to be your God. I want to go out with you. I want to make beautiful babies with you. This whole kind of sense of this life and this energy and this vitality that God is offering to this community. And that is fashioned and formed in those 10 words, the Decalogue, those commandments we say, which doesn't even begin to capture the beauty and the essence of what these words of life are meant to be declarations of, as God forms and fashions this community now to be his own, out of all the nations, out of all the people, out of all that the Lord is properly his possession. He creates this one small ragtag group of people. I was reading this history during the week of the Jewish people, and it was said that during their time in Egypt that the Egyptians referred to them as the dusty ones. Because, you know, unlike the Egyptians, who were very sophisticated city dwellers, even though they're on the edge of the desert, they spoke of the children of Israel as the dusty ones, because they came from up in the wilderness, up in the mountain regions. You know, they were uncouth, illiterate, unformed, not fashionable. And so these people, the outsiders, the cursed ones, the people that would never amount to anything, and yet it's through them that God speaks. It's through them that God fashions and forms a people. Because this is not about who this community is, but it's about what God sees within it, the potential that God sees. And so that was the festival. That is what is celebrated and commemorated. And of course, all the signs and wonders that accompanied Moses as he went up on the mountain, the thundering, the shaking, the fire, the cloud, and all of that is repeated again in the upper room as all of that begins to happen again. The gift of Pentecost, of course, is the reminder that all that happened in the person of Jesus, his victory over death, his declaration that death will no longer have the final word in any person's life, is not only the story of him, but it's the story that's meant to be encapsulated in all of our lives. That this is the gift for all of us to be able to experience and to share. Pentecost says to the church that if you are dead in your sin, you no longer have to be lost into that world, because victory is able to be experienced by every single one of us because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit changes us, that the Spirit challenges us, the Spirit beckons us into life. The Spirit reminds us that even though your past has been shaped and characterized by certain events and choices and decisions that you have made. That does not have to be the sum total of your life. The future of your life is no longer written just in the pages of history, because today we get to choose to encounter the living God, because God invites us and God makes that offer available to us. God takes the initiative. God is the one who declares this truth and this gift into our hearts and into our lives, the gift that He wants us to be His people. And He will blow away any barrier. The Spirit of God will speak His truth and His glory into any possible life, even the dry, dirty, dusty ones that we perhaps might recognize within our own lives. God will say, I don't care about that, because I'm greater than any element or any moment in your past. The glory of God's future is able to be written today. The glory of God's future is able to speak into our lives and into our hearts today, because the Spirit of God is able to reach and to break through any burden, any barrier, anything that we might set up to prevent God from working. God will say, I don't care about those piddling little things. I'm able to break in if only you open yourself to that grace, to that glory. If only you want to receive the gift of the resurrection, not just as a one-off event in one man's life, but in your life, you're able to experience that and to receive that gift because of Pentecost, because of this grace, because of this gift. Pentecost, of course, is this great celebration, but I'm not sure that we actually really believe or trust that this is possible for our lives. Do we believe that God is actually prepared to encounter us today? Do we allow the great possibility that the Spirit of God wants to breathe into my life, that the Spirit of God wants to flow into and through every element and part of my life, casting out anything that is not of Him, casting out any doubts, casting out any confusion, casting out any fear or hurt, in order to establish and create this beautiful intimacy relationship with God alone? That's the promise. That's the gift that we know and we hopefully believe is possible and available to us. But we do need to believe that. We do need to expect that. We do need to encounter and experience all that God has prepared for us. Otherwise, this Pentecost will come and go like every other one before, and nothing will ever change. But if we trust, and if we hope, and if we expect that God can move, God can have power, God can work in my life to bring His new glory and His new giftedness into my heart, then everything can change. Everything can indeed be different, if only we believe.